and it's time for your comments. Last week, we aired a story about BSE, or mad cow disease, and how it caused the United States to close its borders to Canadian cattle. Canadian cattlemen are losing money as a result of that, and our story was told from their perspective. But Jean Lawton of Interior, South Dakota, writes the story was too one-sided, in her opinion. She writes, "You didn't mention the recent additional discoveries of BSE in Canada. You also did not mention the export markets that have been closed to the United States after BSE was found here, which was from a Canadian cow," she adds. "I can understand the hardship on the Canadian cattle producers, but I also understand the hardship on the U.S. producers if they open the borders to Canada before the BSE problem is solved."
Listener Jim Watson is an airline mechanic at JFK Airport in New York who heard one of our reports about the struggling airline industry. The report, he writes, falls right into line with airline executives lamenting high labor costs as a barrier to profits. The implication is that individuals such as myself have simply been living too high on the hog. I can assure listeners that with January's rent only half paid on my apartment, this is not the case. Having just celebrated the first anniversary of a 15% pay cut, I am now facing an employer who wants still more and is going to court to get it.
We've been hearing a number of tales from the workplace, including some inspired by our report on bosses who are much younger than the people they manage. In that report, a young woman talked about an older worker who, quote, didn't even know how to use PowerPoint. To that, Andrew Kerber of Blue Springs, Missouri writes, "Guess what? PowerPoint knowledge is an absolutely ridiculous reason to judge anyone. I've heard the saying, her knowledge of the subject is PowerPoint deep. Learning to use PowerPoint," he writes, "takes about a day. Unfortunately, in the business world, a PowerPoint overview seems to be taking the place of serious in-depth research."
Many of you enjoyed our story about the growing popularity of audiobooks. Nancy Krieger of Rochester, New York writes, "I think you should have alerted listeners to the fact that many books on tape are available at the public library."
But some of you wrote that audiobooks should not take too much attention from the real thing. Vera Feltz of Carbondale, Illinois puts it this way, "Can one legitimately say she has read a book if she's only listened to it?"
If you're a fan of children's books, you probably know of a fictional little girl named Eloise who lives in luxury at the Plaza in New York. After hearing our report on how the real Plaza will be closing soon for renovations, Julie Rosenberg of Arlington, Virginia, sent us this family memory of visiting the hotel. There, her two young daughters cautiously approached a stuffy-looking concierge to ask if Eloise was there. He was ready for them.
"The concierge told my daughters that Eloise was not in. Then very dramatically, he said to them, 'If you happen to see Eloise, would you please tell her I have her party shoes waiting?' He then brought out a pair of sparkly red party shoes. After their awe had subsided, the girls decided they needed to write Eloise a note. A few weeks later, each of my daughters received a letter from Eloise on her Plaza stationery. They knew it was authentic because the crayon signature perfectly matched Eloise's from her books."
So now maybe you're in the mood to write to us. No need for fancy stationery. Just write to morning@npr.org. And please tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.